charges of alcoholism would dog Grant for a good part of his life and continue to do so right down to the present. I don't think we know whether Grant was an alcoholic or not. We do know that sometimes he did drink too much. We also know that at no point during the entire Civil War did drinking get in his way as a commander. Not a single time did consumption of alcohol compromise Grant's performance on the battlefield. But he's out of the Army in 1854. He then tried a string of professions or ways to make a living. He tried farming for a while and didn't really succeed at that. He tried shopkeeping, he tried speculating in land. All of these things really came to very little, and he ended up essentially working as a clerk very late in the antebellum years, not a successful man financially. He did have some connections, however. He had a relationship with a congressman from Illinois who helped him get an appointment as a brigadier general in 1861, and he had fought an aggressive little battle at a place called Belmont, Missouri, which is right across the Mississippi River from Columbus, Kentucky, fought that in November 1861. He didn't win the battle, but he impressed Abraham Lincoln and others because he'd been aggressive in this battle. He had tried to make something happen, which not too many Union commanders were at that point. So Lincoln made a note to watch Grant. Halleck gave him his first break with the campaign that ended in the capture of Fort Henry and Donelson and the fall of Nashville, and now Halleck was going to give Grant the opportunity to build on that success by continuing his advance deeper into Tennessee. And Grant, as I said, will be the principal Union person for us to watch in the campaign of Shiloh. Let's turn to the Confederates for a minute. What are they thinking in the wake of all of this awful news that came in the Western Theater in early 1862? They realized the extent of their defeats, of course. They could read a map just as well as anyone else. Jefferson Davis was bombarded with complaints, pleas for help, suggestions that he needed to do something to retrieve Tennessee and the like. And he and his generals tried to find a way to restore Confederate fortunes in the Western Theater. How can we turn this around? How can we try to regain part of this valuable Tennessee territory? How can we deal a blow to the Federals who have done so much good out in that theater? What they decided to do was concentrate forces at Corinth, pull forces from many places in the Confederacy to give Albert Sidney Johnston and G.T. Beauregard, who, as you'll recall, had come east to serve as second in command to Johnston, give these two men an army that was large enough to confront Grant's army. They would use railroads in the interior of the South to effect this concentration. And in addition to uniting major forces under Johnston and Polk, some of the troops who'd retreated from Columbus, Kentucky, and from Bowling Green, Kentucky, in addition to uniting those troops, they would bring 5,000 men from New Orleans. They would bring troops from as far away as the Gulf Coast and from Charleston, South Carolina. So it's a really impressive example of using railroads, which are new in war, really, using railroads to bring troops from all across this sprawling Confederacy to Corinth, Mississippi, so they would have a major army. Earl Van Dorn's little army in Arkansas also was ordered to join the rest of the Confederates at Corinth. It's a most impressive instance of using the railroad to bring troops together. Once the men were there, the plan was to move north from Corinth and to strike Ulysses S. Grant's army before it could be reinforced by Don Carlos Buell's men coming overland from Nashville. Johnston and Beauregard together had about 40,000 men, not counting Earl Van Dorn's troops, which were not present yet. Grant had 42,000, and Buell had another 20,000, but Grant and Buell, of course, had not yet united. What the Confederates wanted to do was hit Grant before Buell got there and then turn their attention to Buell. They wanted to strike the Federals in detail, so speed was absolutely important. They had to get at Grant before the Federals came together. Beauregard drew up a plan that called for a march from Corinth to Pittsburg Landing on April 3rd, 1862. He wanted to launch his attack against Grant's army on the 4th, so he envisioned a march that would consume all of the 3rd and part of the 4th, the attacks coming on the 4th.